Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Hello, friends, lovers, and others. This is just a quick note to let you know that Jordan and I both had some mic problems during the recording of this episode. I think that everything is still clear enough. You should be able to hear everything, and I did my best to restore the audio. But just know it is going to be just a little bit rough for this one. Thank you. I appreciate you bearing with us. Previously on Three of Hearts. On the road from Yueliang to Stoneloft, Sorrel opened up to Spar about experiencing intermittent memory loss and asked if he could help her get a job that would put her mind to work. She had been in a depression following the untethering, but she's ready to find her place in a world without magic. During a pit stop, Spar tested whether Vellum could hold his sword. In doing so, Spar fully opened his heart to Vellum. This romantic gesture went awry as Spar unwittingly granted Vellum a spark of magic left by Thaumaterra, allowing Vellum to cast magic once again. Sorrel was distraught to see this happen to someone other than herself, and Spar was distraught to have not gotten the chance to offer it to her. Rattled by this turn of events, the gang proceeded to Stoneloft to rescue Jack Spade.
I assume we're picking up like after all that is wrapped up and we're headed back to back on the road to Stoneloft.
Makes sense, yeah.
Okay. Stoneloft is pretty far into this mountain range, which I thought really hard about coming up with a name for this morning and then didn't, so that's just so everyone knows that happened, or didn't. As you get deeper into the range, you see a lot less flora, not so much plant life as you get further in. It's starting to get towards evening, and I think probably the question is raised in the car, do we care what time of day we arrive at Stoneloft? Does it matter?
Were we trying to be sneaky about getting into Stoneloft?
I mean, I don't think that was explicitly the plan. We know there's from the people at Yueliang, we know there's probably something strange happening there, but we don't really know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do. But you don't.
Right. And considering how Spar was getting antsy about wanting to get on the road, perhaps we have not delayed any. So maybe we're just getting there however long it takes for us to travel there after leaving Yueliang without waiting until nightfall or anything. Unless specifically Spar and Vellum plan to do that, but I don't think we have.
So are we talking about it now or are we not talking?
If we keep going out of character, if we keep going at the same pace we're going, are we going to arrive in the middle of the night like we did with Yueliang? Are we going to arrive square in the middle of the day?
It's going to be probably just past sunset. So not quite Yueliang, everyone's asleep, but it's evening.
Yeah, it sounds fine to Spar.
Okay.
Cool.
That primarily matters because when you start to see Stoneloft from a distance, it's very bright. You can't exactly tell what the light sources are from where you are, from your perspective, but there's many colored lights coming off this city, which is built like a fortress. So Stoneloft is built in tiers. Vellum has probably been there, I think we discussed. There's layers. There's three distinct layers to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Three different elevations.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are even to the ground surrounding the city. The very first layer of the city is 20, 30 feet off the ground. And even that first layer is walled off. From the cliff. So there's walls around it. So you can't really see into the city other than light pouring out from inside.
when you were saying it was 20 to 30 feet off the ground, I wanted to confirm that as a height measurement and not that Stoneloft floats above the rest of the ground.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have a castle in the sky. No. Okay.
That's just where the first like flat surface of the town is like 30 feet off the ground, like the nearest ground.
Right. Okay. Has Vellum ever seen this weird kind of glowing light source before when he's visited Stoneloft or no?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, sorry. Vellum would know. In addition to a lot of torchlight, there's a lot of like imported bioluminescent plants, kind of like what the one that Merafina showed you outside of Yue Liang. So they litter the town like street lamps, and like they're like kind of the primary light source in town.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like blue and like pink and orange lights coming out of the town.
Josepha used to be from Stoneloft, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Spar is looking between Josepha and Vellum and asking, does this seem normal? Does anything here seem out of the ordinary or suspicious?
Can I flip or something for it?
No, this is normal. I don't think you have to. Like, okay. This is normal. The town is, I mean, here's what's not normal, I guess. At, like, what is, like, the front of the town, or I guess where the roads lead to on the mountain, is these two very large... I was trying to research this. I wasn't totally clear if, like, a pagoda is inherently a religious building.
I don't think it is.
Okay. So, like, it's like that kind of architecture. It's a pagoda. Two very tall structures side by side. Vellum would know that these contain elevators that take vehicles and passengers to the first floor of the first tier of Stoneloft.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, there's some amount of activity happening there. Ever since like the war ended, Stoneloft has been more open with the outside world, if not especially open.
Except when it comes to knowledge.
Correct. They don't share their books. Or like with commerce and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like during the war, it was like total shutdown. Like no one came into that city. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like that era again. Like there's not even like guards standing outside of the pagodas to like let people in. And there's no one coming in and out. It's just dead quiet. So that is unusual.
During the war era, Josepha might know what it looked like then, maybe, but I don't think Vellum would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. So Josepha would note that, like, yeah, she's like, it's unusually quiet here. Reminds me of when I was younger and lived here. I don't make a habit of coming home, but, I have come here once or twice, and it's usually a lot more welcoming than this.
Vellum will nod and say, yes, I'm used to seeing more people interacting here and, you know, welcoming people, getting them where they want to go, that kind of thing.
We're still on the approach, and each ball is, like, driving really slowly as we kind of come up to the city, and Josepha says, I don't have many, like, contacts in the city anymore. I don't think anyone would be at my old familial estate. I do have a loose acquaintance who tried to kill me one time in town.
Good to know.
But who is largely friendly these days. So we could speak to them. They work at a bowling alley. And then before she can, like, she's going to have to say more. Suddenly, it feels like a gust of wind, like, hits the car.
Uh-oh.
And tomorrow's problem, like, spins around rapidly, as if almost, like, caught in a whirlwind. And then
it turns into the scene from Wizard of Oz. We go up in the tornado. Mm-hmm. We see the witch. All of that good jazz.
Everything's in color now. Three of Hearts has been in black and white until this point.
Until this moment.
Not a lot of people know that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, space kind of unravels around you a bit, and everything becomes like hazy and purple, and There's no longer a car around you, as you are all, like, whipped by some kind of wind. Sorrel, being so small, goes soaring away.
Oh, no. Goes sorreling away?
Mm-hmm, she goes sorreling away. Spar, time seems mm-hmm. to slow down around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a moment to reach for someone. Who do you reach for?
Sorrel.
She's too far away. Sorry. Anyone else who was in the car. So there's Josepha, Ishbala, Marafina, Phelim.
Phelim, then, if Sorrel's out of reach.
Okay. So a pink aura surrounds you, which you only notice when you are touching, when you reach out and see your hand grab Phelim. And mm-hmm. then that pink aura surrounds Phelim as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that a similar forest green aura is around Marafina.
Mm-hmm.
And with like a sudden jolt, as if something had, like a car was like breaking suddenly, mm-hmm. With whiplash, you are actually back in tomorrow's problem. The two of you and Marafina and no one else.
Oh no.
Spar's immediately climbing back out of the car to try to track down Sorrel. Secondarily, Josepha and Ishbala.
Yeah, but there.
Is the car still moving?
No, the car is stopped.
Okay, that's good at least.
But there's smoke coming out of the hood.
Ishbala's a field agent and Josepha's Josepha. Like, yeah. He's not super worried about them. Like, they'll figure out how to survive this.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know what I was gonna do if you didn't pick Vellum, but I thought I'd give you the option.
Can Vellum try to do some magic to find Sorrel?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead and flip. I think this is Intelligence Arcana.
Cool.
Good test. By the way, what's Vellum's presence? We should talk about our magic mechanics.
Vellum's presence is 3.
Okay. So Vellum is able to cast 3 spells per day instantaneously. What are called somatic spells, the quick ones, that use his body as a power source. Casting more than 3 a day is going to cost him health. And then also runic magic, which is more like a ritual, but it's going to take about 10 minutes or more to cast, which you can do as many of those per day as you have time for.
I know we've done some magics back when the boys were in Clovenheart. And one of them was to find Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Would Vellum have used a rune then? Or is it different because that was with the radio?
With the radio, it's pretty much all runic spells. Like, that's the only thing it can do. It's like an etch-a-sketch and you, like, draw runes on it.
Mm-hmm. So could I use that same rune now?
Yeah.
Okay. If I wanted to, but it would take longer. Is that right?
Yes. What's up, I say?
I was going to say, well, we don't just want to find her, right? Like, if you can cast any spell, you could cast a, like, Sorrel be here spell, in theory, right?
Yeah. Really, the more useful or powerful a spell is, the more room for error there is, just throwing that out there.
Okay. So...
the worse a Joker's going to be.
Right.
Essentially.
So... the scene is Spar is getting out of the car to look for Sorrel. Vellum also gets out of the car.
What's it like outside the car? Like,
You're exactly where you were before. The scene is exactly the same. Sans, friends, and tomorrow's problem has been roughed up.
Vellum will ask Spar, should I try to locate her or bring her back here? What should I do?
Yes. Whatever magic you do, do it.
Okay. I guess Vellum will try to bring Sorrel back to where they are.
Okay.
So this is going to be the somatic, so that it's somatic, so it's faster.
Okay.
Intelligence and Arcana. So that's 4 for intelligence, 4 for Arcana.
You're going to get 1 auto success for Marafina being here.
Okay.
She's going to be coaching you through this.
For Eclectic, one auto success. And we got a Queen of Diamonds and a Queen of Clubs. So that is three total successes.
Okay. I already forgot where the third success came from. I'm like, what? What are you doing? You know, bringing someone to you across like significant distance is a huge feat. And Vellum was a pretty amateur spellcaster before magic stopped being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the second somatic spell he's cast in 20 years. But for all of that, you do impressively well. You locate Sorrel and you feel her presence and you're trying to pull her to you.
Yes.
But you feel something pulling her away from you, and it's something much stronger than you.
Oh no.
And you recognize its like whole vibe as Providence and Pandemonium.
Oh no.
What you do get out of this, because you kind of like I would say both of you literally see Vellum in a game of like invisible tug of war with some other force. Vellum, you can like feel, you know, where this force is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from up on the third layer of Stoneloft, which you would know from being here. There's only one thing on the third layer, and that's the Zong Archives.
Okay.
Which is where the most inaccessible books are.
The most secretest books.
Yeah. Well, there's someone who's called the Archivist. It's like there's a one at a time position. The Archivist is the only person allowed in the Zong Archives. But seemingly Sorrel is there.
Do you want to spell Zong for us?
Z-O-N-G.
Like Louis Zong.
Like our beloved composer. Louis Zong.
So nothing bad happens, but Vellum isn't fully able to bring Sorrel back to us.
Right. You played tug of war with a god and lost. But you know where Sorrel is.
Okay.
And you know, learn definitively that like there is something keeping her here and what that something is.
Vellum will tell Spar what he just experienced.
Spar's looking at Stoneloft and says, how do we get there?
Merafina says, we are up against our nemesis, essentially. I wish Sorrel safety as much, maybe not quite as much as you do, but a great deal. We should exercise some caution. We'll do her no good if we die along the way.
Okay, so what do you suggest?
She turns to Vellum and says, I've never been to this city before, but he has. And Josepha mentioned a bowling alley.
Does Vellum know where the bowling alley is?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Tell me. Flip intelligence streetwise and find out.
Okay. Intelligence is 4. Streetwise is 2. And 1 for eclectic. Hardly ever get to use Streetwise. Because we've been in Clovenheart. Oh, Jesus. Oh, good God, X.
What?
Either I extremely know where the bowling alley is, or I extremely don't. Because I flipped no successes, both jokers.
What does that even mean on a Streetwise check?
I don't know. Does that mean, like, I did something embarrassing at the bowling alley? Does that mean I know where the old bowling alley is that is old and defunct and no one goes there anymore? Does that mean I think I know where it is, but I'm wrong?
I think it means probably that Vellum is certain he knows where the bowling alley is. And instead it is whatever is most hostile to us inside Stoneloft.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oof.
Yes, so I'm gonna back pocket these two jokers and say that yes, Vellum knows where the bowling alley is.
I believe the bowling alley is this way.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you're going to need to get up this elevator or climb the walls of Stoneloft to get in it. We don't know how. You got to get into Stoneloft first.
Can we take a minute and just move Tomorrow's Problem off the road?
Yeah, for sure.
We give Tomorrow's Problem a couple reassuring pats. Say that we'll be back later.
Vellum does. Spar is not the biggest fan of Tomorrow's Problem. He's still suspicious.
Vellum's just doing what he assumes Ishbala would do. And since it seems like Ishbala and Tomorrow's Problem have a bond, he figures maybe it's distressed as well, so he wants to try to help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
Just gonna say, I think we're rocking up to these elevators. How do they work?
All right.
Yep.
So you walk up to the pagodas, and the doors are shut. You don't see any kind of external lock, so do you just, like, go in?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're like, they're big, but not particularly weighty wooden doors to just like kind of push open. There's two different ones. Vellum would know they're essentially identical buildings. There's just an elevator on both sides. Like two different pagodas, I mean. And you enter one, you are greeted with like a very like kind of welcoming room. There's this big tapestry on the wall that is like a scenic view of like above Stoneloft. It's like a painting. And it just it does say in multiple languages, "Welcome to Stoneloft." And then there's a little desk. There's like kind of like a reception area.
Is there a map that says you are here with an X?
For sure. Yes. Vellum, you've been here in the past. They do like document everyone who comes in and out of Stoneloft. So they're still fairly paranoid here, just not like they not what they were. It's pretty informal, right? It's just like, who are you? Great, go on in. Right now, there is a person in like chainmail at the desk, like a halberd at their back. And then there are guards in suits with rifles on either side of the elevator.
Oh, good. And I'm assuming that that's different than before.
Yeah, normally it's just like a receptionist. Maybe one security guard.
Hey, Jordan,
mm-hmm.
I know that Yue Liang and Stoneloft don't have the best relationship. Is Stoneloft aware of Vellum as a person of interest of, like, not to let him just wander in? What exactly is Vellum's relationship with Stoneloft? Because he's been here with Jack, and has he, like, gotten approval because he's with Jack, or does he need, like, a travel visa to enter in?
Does Vellum go around saying, I'm Vellum and I'm from Yue Liang, and here I am in Stoneloft?
Probably not, but I'm wondering, other than, like, the one person that you and I both know is in Stoneloft that knows Vellum. Is there anyone in Stoneloft that would know, that would recognize Vellum?
Can you give me a presence streetwise to see what your rep is here?
Okay.
How many greasers are in Stoneloft?
How many greasers and how many of them are friends with Devante versus how many are friends with Vellum?
Oh, dang.
the two greaser leaders of Bicycle.
Yes.
As of right now.
Presence is 3. Streetwise is still 2. Oh, I think I forgot to flip healthy earlier. I was just doing eclectic. Oh, well. Numbers are weird.
So true.
So I don't get eclectic this time, but I do get healthy. I got an ace, a jack, and a king.
Wow, 3 successes. For 3, people definitely know who you are, but like in a good way, because they know you're a friend of Jack. So Jack has a very positive reputation here. And so even if people know that you're from Yue Liang, which definitely probably like the guards do know that, first and foremost, you are friend of Jack. You're welcome here. But maybe there's some eyes on you you know, but you're not disliked.
I was also going to ask, like, would Vellum have used a fake name? Like, I guess it depends on how far back the bad blood between Yue Liang and Stoneloft is. Like,
pretty far back.
If he's been here before, would he have introduced himself as, like, Cowlin Gray or something?
Yeah, well, and the other thing to remember, right, is it's not like they can look at our driver's licenses that have pictures on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're sort of in an ambiguous fantasy setting where I assume there isn't, like, Facebook and LinkedIn and surveillance
correct,
CCTV.
Correct.
So people may know the name Cowlin Vellum, and people may know Vellum's face, but I would be surprised if, like, every security guard knew Vellum's face,
right?
Yet he was not some kind of extreme criminal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Does that make sense for what you were, for Yue Liang and Stoneloft together, Ela?
Yeah, I was just trying to think, like, would he have tried to...
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, whether you used an alias is entirely up to you. I don't think mm-hmm. he would have had to, but if you think Vellum would have wanted to, then yeah, that's fine.
I think perhaps he would have out of caution, if he knows about the bad blood between the two, just not wanting to pick a fight with everyone.
Yeah.
And since Vellum's parents kind of founded Yue Liang, I figure he wouldn't say that his name is Vellum. Because
mm-hmm. okay.
if people know who his parents are, then they'd probably know the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that means that he's introduced himself as Cowlin Harrington, then.
All right.
I think that makes sense. Because people would also potentially know that Jack is friends with Gray Harrington, and it's known that Gray Harrington has a nephew, child, whatever.
Mm-hmm. When you enter the pagoda, see those three guards. They aren't, like, hostile, but they are, like, stiff when you enter. And the person with the armor and the halberd is an elf. And they say, state your business quickly.
What's the name of the person that Jack was here to visit?
Ooh, Gladia.
Gladia. Okay.
Is it Gladia or Glavia?
Gladia. Gladia.
Okay.
Who's the widow of Sanguinia?
Correct. Which I don't think was ever said explicitly on mic. I think I might have said that off mic to you at some point. So I don't think Spar knows that necessarily. That's the relationship.
I think he could probably put two and two together from being a detective. Mm-hmm. But like if this is a...
He is a suits agent.
If this is a trip that Jack makes fairly frequently,
mm-hmm.
and I imagine since Sanguinia was like part of like the group, mm-hmm. that like Gladia is... Probably, it's not like, unless they go out of their way for it to be a secret. I
right. No, no, no.
Like,
you probably know. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true. I forget that some of the people involved in this story are like world famous and people know their personal lives for sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gladia uses Zem. Do all giants use Zem?
Yeah. Unless otherwise, like that's like the default in giant culture. Unless I say otherwise. But yeah, Zem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ela, go for it.
Yes, we are here because we are looking for Jack Spade. Last we heard from him, he was here to visit with Gladia.
The guard in the front, like, looks at you and then looks at, like, one of the rifle-wielding guards by the elevator and then, like, looks at you again and then looks at the rifle guard and then, like, they and the rifle guard start laughing together?
Spar steps between Vellum and the rifle guard. Not in a threatening way, but in a putting his body in front of Vellum's way.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say, actually, the rifle is not drawn, but it's like a single shot, and the hammer is pulled back. And they look at... we're going to look at Vellum, but they look at Spar. And they say, rifle guard will say it's a halfling. They say, let me get this straight. famous giant adventurer Sanguinia's dog is here to visit Gladia. On his own?
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
About technology. Do these rifles look out of date? Do they look perhaps older than a rifle manufactured today would look?
Why, yes, they do.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Cool beans. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. Good. Good and cool, cool, cool and good. I think Spark clocks that. Because if SA made that connection, he doesn't live in the world. I think, and Spar knows firearms.
Right.
And so I think he puts two and two together and goes, well, Jack's gone missing. He sort of, Spar gestures sort of at Vellum, is like the Harrington family. It's close with, do Gladia and Sanguinia have a last name?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Are close with the family. It's really a bit of a personal favor.
Ooh. You gestured to Vellum when you mentioned the Harrington family?
I did.
Okay. Can you flip Charm Persuasion?
Sure. Charm is 2, Persuasion is 2, so that's 4, and I'm healthy as 5. 1 success, 1 joker.
Oof, they got 1 King of Hearts, 1 Queen of Hearts, so that's 3 successes.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 success, 1 joker. Okay. Yeah, I know what this is going to be. Guard says, Rifle Guard. Rifle Guard, eh? says, this is, looking at Callan, this is a Harrington?
Yes, my name is Callan Harrington.
Okay. You went from amusing to get the fuck out of here. Callan Harrington's already in this town, dumbass.
What?
Spar looks at the guard and is like, you know, surprisingly, that's not the first time this week there's been a case of mistaken identity involving identical names. And he moves his arm through Vellum's and like turns Vellum around and sears him out and sort of like calls over his shoulder and says, we'll be back when we get this straightened out. Thank you so much for your help.
The guard at the front says, if you come back, you're going to get your teeth knocked out, actually.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Merafina, by the way, did not enter the pagoda, and it says, so how did it go?
Spar, do you know what's going on?
Yeah, you see this sometimes in the field, it's some kind of time warp, time something.
A temporal distortion?
Even so. About how out of date are their rifles, because it's wartime, so it's got to be more than 20 years.
Yeah, like 50 years.
But there is a Callan Vellum in there already?
Yes, so that does not add up to you.
Okay.
Or Callan Harrington already.
You've only scratched the surface of the weirdness happening in this town. Yes, a Callan Harrington in there, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Spar tells Merafina and Vellum, their rifles are from about 50 years ago. So they're solidly in wartime. And he kind of squints at this fellow and says, but I don't think that, unless you are much older than your file indicates, or you also have a sort of voracity situation, you know, would not be, I wasn't lying when I told them it wouldn't be the first time this week.
As far as I'm aware, there is not an actual Callan Harrington in existence. I could be proven wrong, for sure.
Can you phone your uncle?
You
have the TM radio. His whole thing is their whole thing is radio. Like, can you contact?
Good question.
Can you contact Gray?
Can I contact Gray through the TM radio?
We've never tried, but I like that.
I like it too.
I like the idea that that's not its intended purpose, but like Vellum knows this technology enough to make it happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you give me a wit gadgetry flip.
Wit is 3. Gadgetry is 4. 1 for eclectic, 1 for healthy.
Has body and mind kicked in this recording yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Because so far we've only used intelligence, presence, and wit. And I need to use either wit and intelligence and next brawn agility or vice versa. And so far I've done no brawn or agility flips. I keep staring at it.
Mm-hmm. Just making sure we're not losing out on extra flips.
Okay. I flipped a jack and a queen of hearts.
What's that give us?
4 successes.
Nice. You're able to make some adjustments to the TM radio. I would say like maybe you and Gray have like a private like radio frequency that you contact each other on for like emergencies.
Yeah.
And you're able to like reach out to that frequency.
Just for the sake of safety, I'm going to say that we have removed ourselves sufficiently and found like a little secluded spot to do this in. We're not just like chilling in the pagoda.
Yeah. Yes, Marafino was waiting outside the pagoda, so I assumed you left that outside. Alrighty, and maybe we're back to wherever the car was.
Mm-hmm.
Gray answers and says, "Ooh, actually, you get like a little like beep, and you get 4 beeps, and I would say Vellum has like a response where you have to do like a number of beeps in return."
Okay,
you know what I mean, like to make sure you know it's like you two talking.
I do it.
Okay, great. Good job. You solved my beep puzzle.
Yes.
And you level up. No. I already gave you magic. What, you want more?
Yes.
Gray says, "Cowlin, is that you?"
"Uncle Gray, hi, it's me. Quick question. What year is it?"
We've never come up with year convention, so he says whatever the year is supposed to be for Vellum and Spar.
Okay. Good. Follow-up question. Do we have any relatives also named Cowlin?
Or have you within the past 100 years?
Yes.
Spar adds.
Gray, without even like being baffled by this question, it's just like, "No, not that I can think of. No, I mean..."
"Okay. We are trying to find Jack and might be in a weird temporal distortion, and I just wanted to confirm that if we run into anyone named Cowlin that is here, that it's probably me."
Spar will ask, "Mix Harrington, have you run in? I mean, I've run into situations like this before, but I haven't solved them, and not on this scale. Do you have any advice?"
"Well, I would describe myself as a radio expert who dabbles in magic. So not particularly. Here's what I do know. I've cut ties with Belladonna, but not before I learned a few things. First of all, are you aware that one of her Bramble Guard is after Jack?"
"Yes."
Okay, good.
"Was that Magnolia? Remind Ela."
"No, it's Nat.
Nat.
The werebear." "Okay.
Yes."
He says, "Secondly, I don't know any details other than that Bridge has taken root, Stoneloft as of late."
"I believe we can confirm that."
And she says, "Well, that's not great. Okay, so..." "I mean, I wish I could help you more. What I can give you is that Gradio has a kind of a store there. A shop called the Tune-Up. Now, this could be awkward if they're back there, but the Tune-Up was managed by Max."
Okay.
If you need someone to talk to who's been in the town, Max could be a good sort of person to speak to. However, I know how uncomfortable that might be, Carolyn. So I'm sorry. It's just the best. It's the best lead I've got.
I appreciate it. Okay.
While we have you, is there anything you can tell us about Stoneloft during the war period that we should know about?
I mean, the main thing is just how the ruthless to not just outsiders, but honestly to its own people. Maybe not ruthless as in they're going to just kill their own people, but strict rules for navigating every aspect of the city. Passes to get here and there, and if you don't have them, you're not getting there. They worked really hard to pretend the war wasn't happening, and to keep Morpholomew from infiltrating their city, which is ironic, because it's exactly what ended up happening. Maybe not ironic, but anyway. Maybe tragic. But I guess, yeah. You could, I don't know what era the town has found itself in. It could be loyal to Morpholomew. It could be trying to prevent that. I have no way of knowing.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, that's a good question for Jordan. Were any of the guards altered?
Yeah. I'm going to say the one you were talking about mostly, the gun guard, had some avian features. Eagle-like face.
Were there a mix of altered and unaltered?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess probably not Morpholomew. Buds.
Can Gray give us a way to contact Max at TuneUp? Like, can we radio there, right? Given that radios kind of function as phones?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Gray could give you a frequency.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
Okay, we do that.
Okay, well, we'll call Max after these short messages.
We end the phone call or the radio call with Vellum and Gray. Vellum thanks Uncle Gray and tells them to stay safe.
And Gray says, "You do the same. Sorry for the part I played and everything that's gone down, but do my best to help you from here on, okay?"
Okay. We'll talk soon.
Love you.
Love you too.
Good afternoon, morning, or evening. My name is Jordan Quiverns. I'm the GM, host, wingman, time lord of this podcast. Not in a Doctor Who way. I shouldn't have said time lord. Although, the 60th anniversary special, Jordan's going to start watching Doctor Who again, so who knows what can happen to me. Anyway, I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I know, I sure am. Despite various technical issues, I should have said something up front. Sorry, my audio sucks. I spilled water on my microphone. Oops. Gonna work on fixing that. Anyway, pronouns are they, them. You can find me on Blue Sky at Jordan Quiverns, which now is up to, 15, 16 users even. They keep giving me passwords to Blue Sky, and nobody wants to be on that website, but it's pretty good now. If you want a password to Blue Sky, find me on Discord, and I'll give you. Speaking of which, there's a link to our Discord in the description, which is the most fun place to find any of us on the internet, I would say. Yeah. Essay.
Do you have a fact about the world or an NPC?
Yeah, sure. When you guys called Gray is safely back in Vossa Natura and was in the bath for that entire call and sipping a glass of red wine. And they're still doing that as the call ended, although now they're stressed. And they can't really enjoy their bath anymore.
Oh,
it's very X-Files of them.
You know, despite being on this show, I've never watched X-Files.
What?
So that's my sin. I know. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm culturally aware of X-Files.
Mm.
My favorite X-Files episode is the knife alien tweet. That's, yep. Sorry, everyone.
Okay. My name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Myram Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. And I am recovering from getting my COVID booster. So if I sound like I'm dying, that's what's up with me.
Oh.
Let's see. My essay fact for the day is that my favorite X-Files moment is Mulder touching a wall. Scully identifies what he's touched his bio. And you think it's a shitpost, but it is actually factually his dialogue when he asks, what's the quickest way I can get this off my fingers without losing my aura of cool? And my Myram Felspar fact is, unsurprisingly, he's the sort of person who takes like 5-minute showers.
Mm.
You would think it would take longer given that he has a lot of hair and there's like shaving involved in there somewhere. But you know, he is a military shower type.
5 minutes, including the shaving?
No, the shaving takes longer.
Okay.
The shaving takes longer. Yeah. But there's, yeah. He's still pretty fast.
I say that as someone who is the laziest shaver, but I assume that Myram grows more hair than I do.
Probably, yeah. And I'm sure he's working with like a straight razor sort of situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Which means that there are times where he's like very sexily straight shaving, razoring. And also times where he like slips and dicks himself and is just like, fuck, 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 while he has like a half soaked face.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You can find me on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt. And you can find me in my home covered in fountain pen ink. That's it. That's me. Ela, what's up?
Is the fountain pen ink a current problem that Essay is dealing with?
It's current. I wouldn't say it's a problem.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum. And he and I both use they and he pronouns. Today's Cowlin Vellum fact is there were several times when he was just itty bitty and he would have a nightmare and he would go to his parents' room and they would let him in. And sometimes Gray was there too. And they would all snuggle together and they would read one of his favorite storybooks aloud to him to help him relax and calm down. And they would do all the voices and everything. It was very cute. And so I imagine one of his more treasured possessions is that little collection of stories from when he was little.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Essay has sent us photo evidence of the fountain pen situation. It is real. It is unfolding. We'll have more news for you next time on Three of Hearts.
That's true. I'm usually keeping notes. I usually do take notes with a fountain pen. So yeah, that's accurate.
But for now, enjoy the rest of the episode. Whee! Calling the tune-up, is that correct?
I think so. Unless Marafina has anything that she wants to add about the situation. I mean, she's magic and old as balls, so like...
Yeah. That's a good question. Actually, I do have a question. Marafina's gonna say... Wait, I forget. Did Spar share about his mom being a goddess with everyone in the car? Is everyone aware of that situation?
I think we figured that everyone from Clovenheart is old enough to know, like that Marafina and Josepha would have known.
Mm.
And then he told Vellum, Sorrel knew. I don't know if Ishbala knows.
Okay.
I think I remember saying something like he's not going to avoid it if it comes up, like when catching everybody up to speed, but he's not going to go out of his way to say it.
Okay.
But Marafina's Marafina. Like, yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, she probably can, like, intuit.
Yeah. Well, yes. So Marafina's going to say, it's fascinating that you were able to resist Providence and Pandemonium. That means She's looking at Spar and says this. That means in some way you must be able to use or at least be shielded by your mother's connection to the divine.
Mm-hmm. He sort of shrugs a shoulder at his sword, which is probably not a very clear gesture. I couldn't help but notice that you were also glowing.
Yes.
Jordan, do we know a goddess associated with green?
I don't think so.
Okay. Who's your patron?
Well, less of a patron. I am the mortal avatar of Maseto. You didn't know that? You guys did not know that.
So, Essay and Spar are making the same face, which is like head cocked at like 30 degrees, staring out the window like, yeah, that tracks. That also makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all coming in. Yep.
It's all coming together.
Yeah. So Spar says, you know, in retrospect, I really should have. Instead of, of course. Yeah. Great. How does that help us?
I didn't say that it did.
No, sure. Well, you seem to imply that something about
connection
to Thaumaterra.
Well, normally humans are, well, mortals, sorry, are relatively helpless in the face of the divine magics. You know, hence why you had to bargain with Kronosava to stop the Eye of Kronosava. You can't just dispel such a thing with other means. But it seems, much like I can use my connection to Maseto, well, I essentially am Maseto, to protect myself from Providence and Pandemonium, you are able to do similar things. That's good.
Good? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Was Vellum already glowing pink because of his connection to Spar's magic?
He wasn't glowing pink until Spar touched him.
Okay.
It's like teleportation rules, kind of, right? Like if you touch somebody, then they're like included in your magic stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Merafina says, normally I abstain from using my divine magics because I do not feel like it. Mortals don't specifically feel worth my time in that regard, other than those in Clovenheart. Even then, I prefer to use the magic of the mortals to help them. Here, I cannot use my divine magic. I am too physically bound to Clovenheart. I tried to protect more of us from the deck and was unsuccessful.
How should we go about getting into Stoneloft?
Well, you can call this Max fellow and see if they'll let us in somehow. Or, there's a wall. We got hands.
Spar looks pointedly at Vellum's leg.
Didn't say we had legs. Vellum also has magic, which, you know, I don't.
Let's give Max a call and see how that goes. If this is 50 years ago, I don't know if we'll actually be able to contact them. So.
Well, it may not only be 50 years ago if there's a Cowlin Harrington running around up there. It may be a mix of times. It may be that different places are associated with different times. It could just be some kind of time chaos in there.
Marafina says, time pandemonium, if you will.
Well, it's certainly not time providence.
Jordan chuckles. Merafina does not. She nods. Merafina nods sagely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Vellum doesn't have to roll again. He already did this. You contact the tune-up, and someone answers. Says, thank you for calling the tune-up, a subdivision of Gradio Industries. How may I help you?
Yes. Hello. Is this Max Harrington?
No, this is Cowlin Harrington.
I see.
I don't know a Max Harrington. Who am I speaking to, by the way? We don't get a lot of radio calls. We're still trying to get radio set up here in Stoneloft.
Well, Kellen, let me ask you something. What was your major in college?
Well, I didn't just have one. There was the arcane studies, and there was magical engineering, and then there was, you know, run of the mill sort of mundane engineering.
And your favorite pastime on the weekends?
Let's see. There was some composing. I love to read. What is it? The Duke's Best Man? Was that what it was called?
Yes. Great novel.
And of course, I spent a lot of time with my uncle. Okay, you're kind of freaking me out. May I ask who I'm speaking to?
We're friends of Gray Harrington's, Spar says.
I'm going to have them flip something for suspicion.
They didn't mention the motorcycles, so Ela is suspicious that this isn't actually Vellum and that this is Max pretending to be Vellum.
I mean, what does their voice sound like?
Their voice does not sound that much like Vellum. It has like a similar intonation to Vellum, but the voice does not sound like Vellum.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a familial relation of some kind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they got three successes. So they say, look, if I don't get some names, I'm going to hang up. I was really excited to get a call on this thing, and now I'm pretty disturbed.
Well, Kellen, we were just talking to Gray, and I believe they,
Did you hurt my uncle?
What?
Who are you?
Why would I hurt Uncle Gray? No. And then Vellum realizes that he said Uncle Gray.
Spar takes the radio receiver and is like, hi. My name is Merim Felspar. I'm related to Tara and Felix Felspar.
Okay, I've heard those names.
Yeah. I understand we're asking a lot of you, and I promise you we are also in a very deeply strange situation. Can you tell me what year it is?
I'm sorry, hold on. They got one success on something, and they say, wait, the archaeologist? Merim Felspar?
Same name, same family. We're cousins.
Okay. And they give the year minus 40 or 50.
So same era as the guards?
Correct.
Could this be Uncle Gray? Is there like, would the time of that line up?
No, that doesn't really make sense.
Okay.
I think it's Max.
Sure. Max still, I mean, that was what I was thinking too, but that also wouldn't line up, right? Max is close to
Vellum's age. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
So Spar says, great. We're just a little bit outside Stoneloft, and out here it is year.
What are you talking about?
Well, things have been pretty strange for reasons deeply connected to Max Harrington, also deeply connected to the Felspar family, and we're trying to figure some things out.
Can you charm persuasion? I want to give you an automatic success because, I mean, you have appealed to Vellum, to Vellum's curiosity. Sorry, to Callan Harrington's curiosity.
Mm-hmm. All right, so charm is two, persuasion is two. So two and two is four, healthy makes five.
All right.
Would this count for sleuthing or not?
yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. So that is an ace, a queen of hearts, and a joker.
So what's your total successes there?
One, two, three, four.
Four successes and a joker.
I mean, the joker would be very funny if they like are willing to go with me, but think that I'm the veracity Merim and I'm lying about that part somehow.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, okay. So they're gonna say, okay, I'm willing to help because that's I don't think you're lying. I think your friend is really shady, and he should be more direct when talking to people.
He should be. I've been trying. We're trying to work on it. Spar winks at his Kellen.
and Nega Kellen says, Here's the situation. I can't let you in directly for all sorts of reasons, but I can try to help you get in.
Mm-hmm. We'll take it.
Okay. On the eastern edge of town, there's a Church of the Gambler that no one really goes to.
Mm-hmm.
I could maybe throw down some rope, or maybe I can even make some kind of winch situation to help you guys get up.
We would love a winch.
A winch. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be very helpful. We'll work with whatever you have.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Give me 30 minutes. I'll meet you there.
Before you go.
Yes.
If you believe that I'm not lying, can I ask what is your name really Cowlin Harrington?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. I really am Miriam Felspar. My shady friend is Cowlin Vellum.
What? I mean, what? That's,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my birth name.
Huh. Well, see you in 30.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dog Detective. Our intro theme is At Last, a Piano. And our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Before I got tongue-tied, I was going to have Vellum bluff and say that his name was Max Harrington.
Oh.
And see how that would affect the conversation. But then Spar took the phone over, and I think that was better. So, God.
That was really
fun. I love Spar ending conversations.
Yeah,
you know, incredible. Every time it's a little treat for me.
It's so good.
He always leaves the other person wanting more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's important. Mm-hmm. It's good in social situations and also BDSM.
That's going after the credits or something.